Thank you all for joining us. Hopefully some more folks will join us after they get something in their bellies. I have a feeling some people are in long lines over at the lunch area. So thank you for joining us. Today our session is on really looking at family health history, looking at oral tradition, looking at how to approach health from a little bit of a different perspective. I think looking at families and communities and what they find important and how to take a national project and make it accessible to communities. This session was organized by the Maternal Child Health Section and also supported by the Genomics Forum, which is a new kind of interdisciplinary forum looking at genetics and genomics issues in public health. So my name is James O'Leary. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Genetic Alliance. Genetic Alliance is an organization that looks at transforming health through genetics, specifically by creating an environment of openness focused on the needs of individuals, families, and communities. We engage disease-specific organizations, we engage the Hill, professional societies, state groups, industry, et cetera, to work together in novel partnerships to look at kind of promoting health systems that focus on individuals. And we also look at public policy issues. We're based in Washington, D.C., and different public health issues, and kind of bringing that consumer perspective and engaging consumers to be involved in those discussions and those processes. So today, we're talking about a topic that's pretty close to my heart, which is family health history. Really, how do people talk about family, their family health within their families and communities, but also the idea of what runs in families. So what conditions, you know, through genetics, through shared environment, through shared lifestyle, run in families. So I'm supposed to start with this, which is that we do not have any financial relationships to disclose, neither myself or my co-presenter, Vaughn Edelson, for this slide deck. A little bit of background on this project. So the five presentations, including this one today, are going to be about experiences with a national project that looks at family health history collection in communities. The project really came from an original project that was sponsored by a group called Institute for Cultural Partnerships. We have Claudia Petruccio with us today from that organization, which focused on one community in Harrisburg and how to bring genetics education to that community. And I think what all the groups involved, which were American Society of Human Genetics, Genetic Alliance, Institute for Cultural Partnerships, and the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, soon discovered was genetics, one, it's not the right entry point for people to ask the questions that are important to them about their health that have to do with heritability and what conditions run in the family. People don't really need to know what base pairs in genetics are. They need to know, you know, what are services available to them, why is genetics important to their family, and issues around family health history and its mix with environment and lifestyle. So that kind of project quickly transformed into something looking at family health history as a vehicle to get people talking about health again in their families, and hopefully kind of transform their relationships with their family through that, but also bring that information to a healthcare provider or other health professional to try and make some positive changes in their life. The project really looked at family health history from a little bit of a different perspective, not just looking at it from a genetics perspective, but also looking at it from a folklore perspective and an oral history perspective. Looking at the power of family stories, stories about your health, about your experiences with your family, and how those impact how people are receptive to health information, but also how it relates to those people and how they understand that information. So why do we conduct this project? I think that there's a number of reasons. One was that people do not connect stories of family illness with themselves. In terms of if those stories don't have an entry point for them, if they don't have something that's accessible, if they don't have, you know, if they're just statistics that look at, you know, health conditions, people kind of discount them. If people hear about a condition that you know, they might, their original comment might be that they're healthy and that they're not going to get sick. And so really looking at family health history as an avenue to have people relate to conditions, relate to their own health, and identify as or, you know, with their own health. I think also that many people don't get the connection between family history and genetics. So they might see other family members who developed conditions early, and they may not understand that that increases their risk of developing those conditions. And that's an important part of this. I think also there's a lot of intimidation that goes along with, or distrust that goes along with, traditional genetics models, one of them being a family pedigree, which is simply a diagram of symbols that details what conditions have run in a family, what when people might have passed away from a certain condition, and what the age of onset of that condition was. So really kind of taking a new, fresh look at how are genetic services given, how is genetic counseling given, and how can we kind of reanalyze those models from the community perspective. And I think also kind of how to take information that one gains in their family and turn it into positive health choices, both in terms of lifestyle changes, but also in terms of bringing that information to a provider. Family health history is a very powerful tool. It has a lot of clinical validity. It really has there's a high level of risk associated with a positive family health history. Certainly different family health histories confer different levels of risk, but it's powerful because it not only captures some of the genetic risk that occurs, but also the fact that people share lifestyle with their families and environment. And it kind of captures that all together with the other kind of pieces of family health history, which are culture, which are family habits, and things that families share in common. So I think our basic goals kind of morphed from what the original grant proposal, which was submitted by the Health Resources Services Administration, which supported this project of genetics education, to really looking at family health, really looking at translating that family health history information to healthy choices, and looking at community involvement in health education. When we first started this project, the second part of this phase of this project, we involved communities in looking at a national project. And it's very different than kind of what's kind of a standard practice with large government grants, that you do a pilot study with a community and then you kind of think you can translate it to the whole nation by just reproducing booklets, 10,000 copies, you know, distribute them, and that'll be that. I think most people, especially at this meeting, know that you can't take something that was made in one community and assume that it will just translate perfectly to all other communities in the United States or internationally. But what does it mean then to do a national project that's community-based? And I think we explored this with all of our partners in this project to ask ourselves, what could we do to make a sustainable project that still kept the focus on community and accessibility? I should define the term community that I'm using here. We're using a broad definition of the word community of a population that may be defined by geography, culture, race, ethnicity, age, gender, sexual orientation, disability, or other health condition, or groups that have a common interest or cause, such as health or service agencies and organizations, health practitioners, policymakers, or groups with public health concerns. This can even extend to other shared interests, such as occupation, really looking at geography, et cetera. I mean, what are those shared points that people have together that can use that kind of as a gateway to health information? It doesn't have to be a shared community around a health concern for it to be an access point to health information. And this is just a list of the original partners, some of who will be speaking today. But I think that there's another goal to that third piece on community involvement in health education, which is the value that kind of diverse communities and the broad definition of the word communities, of those communities working together. Many times I think we find ourselves siloed in health or in the specific communities that we work in, and we have trouble thinking outside the box. So thinking, you know, if I am working in Harrisburg, how does that community relate to a national disease-specific organization that does support for a rare condition? I mean, at first glance, you might think those communities are very, very different, and they are, but there are a lot of experiences and kind of trials and tribulations that those communities go through that can be shared experiences, and also shared opportunities to work together. So I think just to quickly go through this piece, really looking at what does that collaboration mean? It means cross-community work and novel partnerships. It means innovation and integration into existing programs and projects, not doing family health history work as a kind of a siloed activity, but really working it into existing projects and programs, and then using that towards non-traditional access points to health information. So I talked a little bit about accessibility pieces. My colleague Vaughn Edelson will talk a little bit about how we tried to use a customizable version of the guide to promote accessibility. But I think the biggest way that this project looks at accessibility is the community focus, and not taking the fact that it is a national project as reason to do a kind of a blanket approach to dissemination and to production. And also that same piece of community input, that not only is it not enough to do a national project and go to work with community organizations, but also to look at the models for how those community organizations engage those communities, and how not every community is created equal, how different engagement practices are necessary in different communities. So I'll turn things over to Vaughn at this point to talk a little bit more practically about how we went about doing that.
Hi. So I'll give you the details, really, of this project and how it was conducted. And all of our partners here will go into a lot more detail about how it was different in each community that we worked with. As James said, we didn't just want to take what was done for one group and plop it everywhere else in the country. So this is the toolkit that we were working with, which you will find on the back table, several of our different customized versions. A guide to family health history, which talks about why family history is important, how do you approach your family, and then a guide for understanding genetics and health, which gives a little bit of genetics 101, but then different health conditions that run in the family, common complex disorders, heart disease, cancers, diabetes, and more. So each community that we worked with customized the booklets for themselves. There are several customizable portions, personal health stories, and photos to really get the face of that community into the booklet, along with those health conditions that I mentioned in the second book. The partners could customize those with health conditions that were specific to their communities, as well as risk statistics for the different conditions, and quotes from different members of the community. This is just a general slide on how the partners felt about that customization process. So you can see kind of all the different aspects. Some went out into the community to collect stories. Some, you know, made up stories that really represented different aspects of their population. And in general, it was relatively easy process. Definitely some challenges involved, but the customization went smoothly. So the way the project worked, each community recruited at least 25 families, and a family had to consist of at least two blood relatives, but some groups did more. Some groups did three, and there was the flexibility to add more relatives to a family, but they had to be related by blood, and it started, obviously, with recruitment, which turned out to be relatively easy here. You can see the dark green is the first family member, kind of that initial contact, and then the yellow is the additional family members, which turned out to be more difficult, and later in collecting the evaluations, more difficult to access those additional family members as well. But so 25 families did a pre-survey once after recruitment, completed a survey that really spanned a broad spectrum on beliefs about health, but also lifestyle, diet, exercise, religious beliefs, prayer habits, comfort with a healthcare provider. Looking at those health beliefs, you know, how much do I think my mom's health affects my health? How much do I think my sister's health affects my health? So looking at all of those questions. And then the families were given these booklets to work with and have conversations for 3 months. And at the end of the 3 months, there was a follow-up survey which asked a lot of the same questions. And communities were free to add additional questions to these surveys as they saw fit. And so again, kind of similar to the recruitment, collecting the follow-up surveys from the first participant was relatively easy, but there were problems due to follow-up, attrition, and collecting follow-up surveys from the additional family members turned out to be a lot more difficult. So we are just wrapping up that evaluation phase now. All of the communities have pretty much finished collecting the follow-up surveys. We're moving into the next phase of the project, which is the addition of 10 new partners. Genetic Alliance put out a request for proposals for people to use these booklets and really integrate them into the community. This speaks to the sustainability, which is really a key part of this project. We don't want it to end, when the funding is up. We really want the family history to continue. And, you know, they were relatively small, $10,000 awards, because, one, that's all the money we had, but also we wanted people to really take that piece, the integration piece, to heart. We didn't want to create new systems. We didn't want to recreate the wheel. That's why we have this model, this customizable tool, so that it can be adapted. And coming up, our release goal is Thanksgiving. We are developing a customizable online version of the booklets in the back. So the process as it worked now was, you know, partners would tell us what changes they wanted, we'd go in and make them. There was a lot of back and forth. We want to kind of remove Genetic Alliance from this process so that anyone, whether, you know, you're just one person doing it for your family or you're a huge corporation, you can go on and customize the books for your community. It's just kind of a sample, basically what it will look like. You know, you'll be able to click where it says pull quote about the importance of family history. You know, just click there, type it right in. You do the work to collect all the information from your community and then have a really easy interface to produce booklets. It'll be linked to a printer, so you can print thousands upon thousands of copies, or it can just be downloaded to your desktop for free. So you can email it to your family or, you know, post it on your website, send it out in an e-newsletter. So again, the same parts that were customizable for all of our partners will be customizable on the website. So the personal health stories and photographs. We will have libraries of these stories. We have over 30 stories in our library and actually over 100 photos for people to choose from. So, you know, if you don't have pictures of your community, you can use ours, but definitely all users will be encouraged to really get those pictures, get the stories, get the quotes from the community to just get at that accessibility piece. And share, as I already mentioned, that's kind of the whole point of this, is to share, have these conversations, share the information. And so the booklets will be able to be printed or downloaded with that ultimate goal of sharing the information. And once these new partners have completed their projects, which really, in selecting those partners, we tried to fill gaps in our new partners and really get at all of those different definitions of community that James mentioned earlier. So we have groups working with employee health programs. Actually, University of Oklahoma College of Medicine is incorporating the booklets into their medical school curriculum. Have lots of different ethnic groups and different types of communities. They will create final model project reports of their projects with details. And the details on budget, on staff time, so that users looking to do their own family history initiative, you know, on a small scale or a large scale, can know kind of exactly what it takes to do that. I'm going to put together a database so that people can pick and choose, you know, they needed this much money, well, that's great, that's how much money I have. Maybe I can take a model from them, take part of their project, really just to kind of help people out, help get the process started. And that's kind of it. So with that, the online tool will debut Thanksgiving, right in time for Family History Month, Family History Day. So I think we can do a couple of questions in between each speaker and then have more time at the end.
Sure. So. If you have not picked up booklets, there are multiple booklets at the back. You'll see at the bottom of each booklet on the front cover, it will say the sponsoring organization. Each booklet is different. Other than one is in, there is a Spanish version that National Council of La Raza brought. We brought a Genetic Alliance version. There's an Institute for Cultural Partnerships version, Seattle Indian Health Board, and is there a, okay. And then all the other partners' versions are online on the Genetic Alliance website, geneticalliance.org. There are 8 original partners in the project, so you can download those different versions to get ideas of what types of customization can be done.
Yep. How do you expect your online version to interact with that which is US
our tool is really designed to be complementary to that. There's no, you know, we talk about how to draw a family health portrait, but it's not looking at actually doing the collection, no risk assessment pieces. It's really just promoting the conversation. So I think we really see it as a side-by-side tool, kind of an aid to help you understand, you know, why you're doing that Surgeon General's piece.
It actually refers in the booklets to the Surgeon General's tool. The Surgeon General's tool takes a certain amount of, there's a certain amount of assumption on that part that A, you know how to talk to your family in a, you know, a very sensitive way about family history, and that B, you kind of know what the important things about family health history that you should be collecting and why. So this booklet was really designed with the idea of giving people the why and the how, and then directing them to other methods to record their information. One option being the Surgeon General's tool or the equivalent CDC tool. If people aren't aware of those, there are ways to kind of draw online family portraits that you can print out and bring to your doctor. Also, though, the general idea that the more information that people have, the better. So even if people just ended at the point where they were talking to their family about health and knew that things ran in their family, that's a positive development. You